open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you came today without a Bible, simply raise a hand. We'd love you to follow along with us, as we believe it's so important for you to actually put your eyes upon the Scriptures yourselves. So 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're continuing a message we started last week and ran out of time for. And I just can't skip over things. I just couldn't do it. Sorry, ladies. One more day. You know, it's very tempting to have a drum set up here without me wanting to hit something. What is it about drums? It just, right? It's like, when I get a good point, I'm going to tap that. What's that? Talk to you after service. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Bibles in hand, ready to receive. Let's pray. Ask God to bless this time. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that you've given us hearts after you. And even as we've just watched that video of devastation, physical devastation, God, beyond that, there's spiritual devastation. All over this country, all over this planet. People that are lost, people that are living apart from you, that don't believe in the Bible, that think it's a bunch of stories that man has written. God, there's no way a man could write this. There's no way a human being could write this and have such diversity yet close-knit consistency from Genesis to Revelation. Lord, I believe and we believe that the Holy Spirit has written this book for us, that we would know how to live our lives. And God, I pray as we read the Scriptures today, even sometimes challenging Scriptures, God, I pray that we wouldn't just push them aside to say those are just old truths, not applicable for today, but God, that we would apply these truths to our lives, that we would live our lives in such a way that please you, honor you, and be an example to others in this world, because we live in a world that's hurting and is just scratching their heads as why things aren't working out as well as they had hoped. And God, that's because they're separated from you. So encourage your Christians. Strengthen us, God, as we read your word and learn from you. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Women of the Word is what we're talking about. And last week, like I said, we started in verse 9 of chapter 2. Paul is addressing the church at Ephesus. He's addressing specifically his protege, young Timothy, who's there as a minister to make sure that things in this church get back on track. Some of the doctrines, some of the false teachers that were coming through town were kind of disrupting the church there. They were disturbing some of the Christians there. And so Paul sent Timothy to say, hey, Timothy, I charge you, he says in the first chapter, to get things in order in this church. And one thing he's been looking at here in chapter 2 is getting the men in the church and the women in the church to know their role, to know their place, and to step up to the plate. And so as we looked at the men's responsibility to be men of prayer, to be praying for one another, to be those spiritual leaders, we now stepped in last week to the women's role in the church and what they are to do and how they're supposed to address the call that God has upon their lives. See, in the house of God, we're a body. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're here to co-labor together. But if we don't do it properly, if we don't co-labor under the biblical principles that God has given to us, things can go sideways really fast. And I think it's real easy to see that in the communities that we live in the times that we live in some other ministries that just don't follow the biblical truths. They must skip over these verses because of the things that they do. They must just not even read those or just dismiss them or find ways around them. And there's a lot of commentaries out there that look at this area of Scripture, and none of them agree what Paul's saying. And you know, sometimes it's like when a friend of mine says, I take the Bible literally. The Bible says it. I want to follow it. I want to obey it. And so this is what we're looking at. We're looking at God putting order in his church, because that's, we got to stay there, guys. If we start to stray as a body, as Christians, as a church, if we start straying from away from the truth of Jesus Christ, if we start straying from listening to his voice and obeying his command, we're going to find ourselves in some really tough places. And so we want to stay close to the truth. And that's why we systematically go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so we don't miss anything. And so last week we looked at two things, appearance and attitude. That was the first point under the women of the word. Appearance and attitude, verses 9 and 10. He talked about the clothing, the outward appearance. And we talked about how important it was. Listen, God isn't saying wear drab clothing. He isn't saying don't make yourself look nice. He's saying just don't let that be a focus. Don't let your attention be about the outward. Let the attention be about the inward. Not your clothes, but your character we talked about. And so we briefly got into the next section last week. In verse 11, we saw here, it says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And we talked about how in the times of Jesus, in the times that this letter was written, women weren't allowed to really get much of an education. They got minimal education, and then they were in the home taking care of the affairs there. Here we looked at last week, this was the liberation statement in the Bible that said, let the women learn the ways of God. Let the women come in. Let them hear the biblical teachings. Let them hear the biblical truths. And so that's why it's so important that we understand what the word is saying. Because if we read it and misinterpret it, man, we're going to get all kinds of weird doctrine in the world. So we looked at women learning in the house of God. We saw that there's no difference between man and woman in God's eyes. There's no difference. I mean, there's some physical differences, but there's no spiritual difference. God can anoint women to teach, and that's the next thing we're going to look at. But if we're looking at appearance and attitude, the second thing we got to be looking at is behavior and belief. That's what we're going to look at today. Real briefly, we're going to share communion together and remember what Jesus has done. So we're going to real quickly kind of go through these next verses. But for context, let's go ahead and read again from verse 9 through the end of the chapter, verse 15. Follow along with me. In like manner also, let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Yay for me. Ladies, don't say a word for the next 30 minutes. You can laugh. I'll let you laugh. That's pretty good. No response. I like that. Yeah, I know. We looked at verse 11 last week. Again, let the women learn. So we're going to move on to the verse 12 because the two kind of come together. Let the women learn in church. Let them learn the ways of God. But in verse 12, very strong words, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Guys, here's the God-given order of the church. The God-given biblical order, Paul says, I do not permit a woman to have authority or to teach a man. Now, let me say this. I know a lot of very gifted women that can teach and have taught me a lot about God and about Christianity. And that's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying that women can't teach at all. He's not saying that women can't instruct people. He's just saying there's a certain order in the church. Because if you look at that word teach, when you look back in Ephesians, which we'll go to in a minute, when you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about the roles that God has set forth in the church. The apostles, the prophets, the teacher, pastor, teachers, those pastor, teacher is really one word. And when he's talking about teacher, he's talking about the role of an under-shepherd. He's talking about the role of a pastor. And Paul is saying, I do not permit a woman to be in the place of a shepherd of a flock, of a church, a ministry. Now, it's amazing to me that I don't know about you, but I know many churches that have women as pastors. And like I said earlier, they must just skip over this or just not even talk about it because it's very clear here. God's order is for a man to be in the role of the shepherd. And we'll see here, Paul goes into, you know, the Adam and Eve story because Adam was created first, but God has created man with that anointing, that gift to instruct and to lead a church. Now, would it be against biblical truth if one Sunday I had a woman come up here and teach us something? Would that be against the word of God? I don't believe it would. It may challenge some of us in this room, go, whoa, what's he doing? He's lost his mind. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I don't want them to be in that role of leadership. And that is what we need to look at this morning. Because think about the women in the world, in Christianity, that have taught so much. I think of Corrie Ten Boom. The books that are written about her have taught me so much about faith, about trusting in God, about the Word of God, about prayer, about going through difficult situations. Apart from that woman, she doesn't have a church, but she certainly has taught much. I don't know about any of you that ever heard of Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. I went to the Cove one time in North Carolina, and she taught the book of Revelation, and man, it blessed me entirely. The women have the gift to teach, but it has to be in the right context. That's what Paul is saying here. And I know for some women in here, you're probably going, oh no, this really goes against, I don't know if I believe this. Men are smarter than women. That's not what Paul's saying. In the military, they give leadership roles not to the smartest, but they just give leadership roles because there need to be order. And there needs to be order in our military. There needs to be order in the church, because without order, there's disorder. And with disorder, nothing can get done. And so if we're going to follow the biblical truths, if we're going to come up under the biblical guidance and instruction, we're going to listen to this and we're going to obey it. And we're going to see God bless our lives. I can think of several, not many, but several couples who live the biblical life, and I see their life immensely blessed. When we try to go against the truth of the Word of God, we cause so much trouble. Now, let me say this, because there's no doubt there's some people in here that are going, okay, this is the role, this is the instruction that God gives. Men have a role in the home, women have a role in the home. Now, what if we're not living this truth? What if we're not living up under these guidelines? What if ours looks a little bit different? Listen, you need to ask God, first and foremost, God, my situation is this. My situation doesn't necessarily fit what you're talking about. Maybe the wife has to work to help pay the bills. Maybe the wife has to be in the workplace. All I'm encouraging us to do here this morning is to consider our lives and ask ourselves, am I in the place God has called me to be? And for a season, if a woman has to work, it's okay. But listen, don't sacrifice your role as a responsibility as a mother for your children. There's the danger, my friends. Because I encourage usually premarital counseling, when I'm doing premarital counseling before a couple gets married, I say, is the woman working? Yes, usually the woman is working. Well, what are you going to do when you have children? I'm going to come out of the workplace because I want to be with my children. I want to be there. Now, that takes responsibility. That takes some planning ahead to make sure our house is in order in such a way that wife cannot no longer work and not have that income. Or potentially maybe work at night. If there's a fight, but getting our house in order in such a way that you can invest in your children's lives. Because I say this always, if you're not pouring into your kids, somebody else is. If you're not instructing your children, either biblically or whatever, in your home, somebody else is. And that's my fear, is that when we look at this next generation coming up of children that don't have the father, mother, discipline, instruction, man, they're not living lives that are honoring to God. And that's the danger. The farther we get away from the biblical truth, the more dangerous it gets. So when we look at these things, don't look at your situation and go, oh, I don't qualify, and turn your mind off. No, no, no. Turn your mind on and say, God, help me through this. Maybe you're a single mother. Does that mean, you know, God loves you. God wants to do things in your life. God will use your life and bless your life. You just have to ask God for that wisdom. You have to ask God to help you get through those situations. Because I know many different situations in the church today and in the world today. But as believers, we need to make sure we're in a good place with the Lord when we say, you know what, this is what God's called me to for this season. This isn't probably what I would have chosen, but this is the place that I'm at, and I'm asking God to help me through it and to pour into the lives of your children. Paul's talking about the character of women. And the godly character of a woman needs to be number one. They need to love Jesus. That needs to be first and foremost. You must love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's a character of a godly woman and a godly man, of a Christian. But number two, to me, she needs to use her mind. There's intellect, there's intelligence that God has blessed you with. I'm so thankful for godly women that use their minds. You know, I think that we've just got this picture today where, you know, a housewife or a stay-at-home mom is like an inferior human being. Where to me, that to me is one of the most precious roles in the world today. As a pastor, when I sit down with someone to counsel with them, most of the time, it's because they don't have a good upbringing. They don't know the right way to respond, the right way to act. So now they've got this life filled with problems that we need to deal with. Moms, you have an opportunity to train up your children in the ways of God so that they'll be able to discern between right and wrong so that when they're out in the world, they'll make good decisions. Teach them that. It's so important. It's harder to teach after the damage has already been done. Whereas if we can mold these new lives, if we can mold these hearts, if they can be lovers of God. And I know the stereotype of pastors' kids are the worst kids. And I think that's because the pastors aren't really being the dad anymore. They're being the pastor, but they're not being dad anymore. And I'm thankful, honestly. I love being a father to your kids. If I had kids, I don't know where I'd find the time to do all that I have to do. I pray for pastors that have children because they've got to minister to their wives, they've got to minister to their kids, they've got to minister to their church. See, I can devote more of my time to the ministry because I don't have children to raise up. I'll help you raise yours. You know, send them over to my house. I'll ruin them and you can have them back. I'll spoil them. But do you see what I'm getting at? We have this great responsibility to nurture these kids and to teach them between right and wrong. I mean, there's plenty of parents that I've prayed with that I'm having the toughest time with my kids. I don't know what to do. I'm pulling my hair out. They won't listen to me. They keep lying to me. They won't tell me the truth. It's like, these are tough things that we have to deal with. These are tough things that we do work out, but we need to start young. Start young. I don't know what it was with me. Maybe it's because God had his hand on me since I was a young kid. I don't know. But I was one of those kids, if dad said don't, I didn't. If mom said stop, I stopped. My brother, absolute opposite. Mom said don't, he did it. Dad said stop, he kept going. He had to test the waters. I don't know what it was with me. It's like, you've shared this before. You know that scared straight video that they showed us when we were kids? That worked for me. You know, it's like, hey, I don't want to do that. That's cool. Like everybody else is like, and then the things about smoking with the black lung, gosh, I don't want that. And all my friends are smokers. It's like, did you not sit in the same video that I saw? It's like, why would you do that? It's I don't know what it was about me. I honestly believe it was God's anointing. I honestly believe God protected me. When I was hanging around my friends who wanted to smoke marijuana, who wanted to smoke pot, I didn't want it. I missed a meal one time. I did smoke marijuana one time. And the room spins so much I missed a meal. I said, that's the last time I'm smoking marijuana. I mean, I like eating a lot more than I like being high. And it never stuck with me. I had one puff of one of my mother's cigarettes. It's amazing when you remember the things that we did as kids. I can remember driving in my mom's little car, windows open, no seatbelt, mom smoking. And in the winter, the windows were up, the car was full of smoke. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Anyways. But it's like, I just don't get. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. I had one puff of a cigarette. It burned the whole way down. I'm like, who would do this? I'm not trying to bring any conviction. I'm just saying my own experience. It's like, I had my problems. I'm not going to share those with you now. We'll go to lunch sometime. I'll share all the things I did that I shouldn't have done. But I believe it was God's protection upon my life. And years later, after I became a pastor, my mom said these words to me. She said, I knew you were going to be a pastor one day. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that? That would have helped me out for a lot of years. If you told me that, that would have really saved me, I think, from a thing. If you'd said you always thought I would be a pastor, that kind of messed with my mind. Pray for your kids, that God would use them. Pray an anointing on them. Pray blessings upon them. Pray God's protection. There's no doubt every parent in this place is praying, God, protect my kids. As you send them off to school, as you send them out to a party, as you give them keys to your car, it's, oh, please. Your prayer life has got to increase when your kids get to that age. But be praying for them that God would use their lives, that their lives would be a blessing, that God would protect them. I think there's real truth in it. And I think with the proper perspective, with mom being in the right role, man, What an involvement we have. I was so blessed to grow up with my mother always being there. My mom was always there. And she would use that too. She would say we'd be bad and she'd threaten Lily to leave. It's like, oh, don't leave us. We'll be good. It's like having her there, being in that place. Guys, I know there's certain situations that go against this that are different in your homes, but listen, seek the Lord. Ask God how you're to respond. I want to remind you why Timothy wrote this book. And let's go, or Paul wrote this book to Timothy. Look at verse 3 in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, Paul speaking, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. See, the things that were coming against this church were crazy doctrines. And don't forget, last week we talked about, you know, the temple of Diana that was in Ephesus there. You know, the goddess of Diana. They were worshiping a false idol, a woman idol. And so all these things are coming in the church, and Paul's writing this letter. Don't succumb to these things. They're teaching false doctrine. The important thing about doctrine, this is doctrine, a set of beliefs held and taught by the church. Again, a set of beliefs that are held and taught by the church. So doctrine is truth. It should be truth. But listen, we can go on a doctrine that's not truth. So that's why it's so important to study our doctrine. What is our doctrine? What do we believe? Do we believe Jesus is Lord? Do we believe Jesus is God? Or do we believe that Jesus is, you know, he was a good person? What is our doctrine? What do we believe? Do you believe the gift of prophecy still exists today or not? I was reading a commentary. This commentary said, well, the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of tongues, they're no longer in existence. It's like, whoa, really? When I start looking at the Bible and I start saying, oh, that was for then and not for now, can I do that with all the Bible if I choose? Why? Does God start and stop things? No, he's given the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can edify the body. In fact, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 should be just a handful of pages to the left. Many of you know this area of scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Because as I said, in God's eyes, there's no difference between man or woman. We're both sinners. We do both need a Savior. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows that without him, we can do nothing. But here on earth, he's got certain order. And this is what we see in verse 11 of chapter 4. And he himself, being Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, everybody, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Men, women, gifts, talents, abilities in the body. This is one of those things in my heart, in my prayer time, is God, equip and engage and empower your people to do what you've called them to do. See, guys, I believe with all my heart that there's people in this church that have been gifted by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that have been gifted with things that are to edify and build up this church, to strengthen this church, so that we might go to places like Joplin, so that we might go to places like downtown Franklin, so that we might go into Nashville, and we might proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ with all confidence in God. That's what the body is supposed to do. We don't look at the disaster in Joplin and say, oh, at least there's a Calvary there. Good. Let them do it. No, no, no. God, tell us, show us, reveal to us. See, I believe that God, by the Spirit of God, can speak to your heart and give instructions for to you about how your church, if you call this your church, this church can get involved in the areas of greatest need in this world. I believe God can tell us and speak to us, if we're listening, of how we can be most effective. How we can make the most difference in the time we have. Guys, how many people in here believe that their life is but a vapor? That the time goes so fast. That the time, I mean, I'm looking at my life, I'm going to be 46 this year, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I was 26. I wish I had the endurance of when I was 26, because there's so many more things I want to do for Christ. There's so many more things I want to get involved in. So many things I want to experience. But see, this is the role that God has given to me, to empower the church, to embody the church, to speak the truth, and I think it needs to be in love. The Bible says it very clearly. It's not my idea. Listen, we have truth. You die without Christ, you go to hell. But do we have to point finger? If you die without Christ, or do we say, without Jesus, you're going to be separated from a loving, caring God that sent his son for you for all eternity. You'll be ever separated from the pure love of God. That's saying the same thing, but it's saying it from a heart of love, a heart of care. To be able to go into devastated areas, to go into places in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and minister to the lost because we want them to be saved. I've got a wicked heart just like you've got a wicked heart. I look at this world and I get frustrated and I get discouraged and I get depressed. It's like, why are you acting like that? You're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you responding like that? Sunday mornings are a time for us to come together as a body of believer, grab your coffee, talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Get deep. Get serious. Who cares how hot it is? Who cares about the cicadas? They're almost gone anyway. Who cares? What is God doing in your life? Share it with somebody. You're not going to believe what God's doing in your life. Share it with somebody. Get involved in people's lives so that we get excited. I say it all the time. I want to hear what God's doing in your life. I want to know what it is God's built in you, the passion that's in you. I want to let that come out. And we have an opportunity on every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night to come in here and to worship God. Do you come in and worship? Or do you come in and watch worship? I want to speak to some people in here. Just, are you really, and it's not about what you're singing or whether you're lifting your hands or whether you're standing or seated. I just want to know, are you worshiping God? I don't want to know. God wants to know. You need to know. Are you coming in here lifting your voice to God? Oh, how he loves us. I change the words and I go, oh, how he loves me. I make it personal. How he loves me. I need to be reminded that God loves me. You know why? Because I get beat up every other day. I get beat up on Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday night I get a recharge. And then Thursday and Friday, beat up by the enemy. And it's times like this, I come in and I get filled up. I go, oh, God, thank you that you love me. Because sometimes I wonder. You ever wonder if God loves you? You ever think, God, what are you doing? Why does it hurt so much? Why am I going through this kind of pain? Why am I suffering in this way? Okay, in our heads, we may not know that God loves, but in our hearts, we must know that he loves us, that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. Nothing. I don't know where I'm going, to be honest with you. I just want you to know that God loves you, and I want you to use your gifts, because if you're not, you're holding me back from your blessing. You're holding me back from a blessing if you're not using your gift. What is your gift? And why aren't you using it? And let's pray for your gifts. Let's pray for the gifts to be used in the body. If we go back to 1 Timothy. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. How can a church put a woman as a pastor? How can they do it? Let me give you my only reason. Because a man won't do it. That's the only reason. There's no doubt that the women that are teaching, they're probably doing a great job. Probably teach the word, most of it. But they're doing it because a man won't step into that role. And I say that to make sure that the men in this church rise up to the occasion, guys. Rise up to the occasion of the responsibility that you have. And you might say, well, I don't want to be a pastor. If you're a man, you're a pastor to somebody. You're a pastor to your friends. If you're a husband, you're a pastor to your wife. If you're a father, you're a pastor to your kids. You are called to be a leader. to be a shepherd, to share the truth about God. That's the man's role. That's the man's role, not the woman's role. And listen, it's not that they're not gifted. They can do it. I think they can do it better than men sometimes. I really think they've got the gift, but started in Genesis. No, no, no. You're going to desire the role. You're going to desire the position, but your husband's going to rule over you. That was God's purpose, setting those things in order. A great need in our society is for women to train up the next generation. I believe that, and I know Lou and I, we've talked about this before, I think there's a need for women to train up younger women as to how to take care of their children, how to take care of their husbands, how to take care of their homes, how to be responsible, how to be women of the culture and the community, to teach this truth that someone has taught to you. Share it down. That's a responsibility that God has given. Paul said it to the church at Corinth, that the older women would train up the younger women in the ways of God. That's a great need in our society, to teach how to care for their husband.